Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of This is the Trender of the Zeit. It's courtesy of Chair Food on the Discord. Love some chair food.
Have you heard that one video on YouTube called Reebok or Nike? I think I played it for you.
It's like his favorite song.
He's like, what is it? Like, ¿Es son Reebok o son Nike? And he's like, what the fuck song is it? And it was Corona.
Yeah.
The Rhythm of the Night. Yep.
Anyways.
Search that on YouTube for my fun. Reebok or Nike.
You are Miles. I am Jack. And we're going to open up with a little NFL news.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
What's that?
Odell Beckham Jr., who had an amazing first couple seasons in the league and hasn't really done all that
the
much
Giants,
lately. Just kind of bounced on his team, the Cleveland Browns. He is signing with the LA Rams, which is just, the LA Rams are already like starting to feel like a all-star team. They signed like one of the best defensive players in the league last week, Von Miller, who was like a Super Bowl MVP. And they were already like all in on this season. So it's just interesting. The Rams are a fun team. They really light up the scoreboard.
What the fuck is Stan Kroenke up to over there?
I know. That's what my friends were texting, being like, where the fuck are they getting all this money from?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's like they have so much wealth between him and his wife, the Walton.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess that makes sense.
It's also, but it's interesting because as an Arsenal fan who the Kroenkes also own, his son has now sort of taken up more of the visible position. And he's like, look, we get it. We've been fucking up this whole place. We want to do better.
And I know.
Credit to us. We've spent more than normal on players and we actually are starting to look a little more consistent. But I'm not giving them a shred of gratitude.
Yeah.
Fuck those people. But isn't like OBJ in. It's funny because on Twitter, all I see is people being like, this is exactly like Blake Griffin going to the Nets.
That feels a little disrespectful to OBJ.
Like, because I feel like Blake vanished for a little bit. And OBJ's been on, I guess, peripheral.
Yeah, I mean, he started out strong last season and then got injured. And then this season, he's been healthy and just kind of non-existent. But yeah, I think it'll definitely be interesting. He's got a lot of tools. He already the Rams quarterback Matt Stafford already has like two of the best wide receivers in football right now. Cooper Kupp in particular. So will be interesting to see. And then Cam Newton is going home. He's gonna sign with the Panthers. Whose quarterback has been just shitting the bed. As of late. So
how long? Well, he was in the New England, right?
Yeah, he was in New England for a little while, and then they cut him this year to try and make their rookie quarterback feel secure in the job.
Aww.
But it's good. I mean, that's cool. I love Cam Newton. I've always rooted for him. I would love to see him bring the Panthers back to relevancy. And
it's been a while since.
It's been a while. Since he's been relevant, actually. It's actually
been a while
the guy...
since Tim Biakabutuka was blowing it up for the Panthers.
the guy who kind of the year, so Cam Newton had an MVP season for the Panthers, and then when he got to the Super Bowl, that guy Von Miller, who I was just referencing, who just went to the LA Rams, just ate him up in a dramatic, dispiriting fashion. Anyways, that's been NFL Corner, and we won't do it again.
And check out Miles, who's like, yeah, last time I checked in the league was 97 when Tim Biakabutuka was playing for the Panthers.
Tim Biakabutuka. Wow.
Hey, man, what's Fred Lane up to?
I don't even remember those names.
Dude, I followed him because I used to love just Michigan as a vibe in college sports.
And me too. For no reason.
Fab Five, and then I think in rap videos, so many people were wearing like Wolverine starter jackets and shit.
Right.
That I was like, this is just the aesthetic. So very passively, I'm like, oh yeah, okay, all right, Tim Biakabutuka.
I've always rooted for Michigan football for no real reason. But
a dude from my high school played for them. This guy, Justin Fargus, but that was Fargus. About it. Yeah. Antonio Fargus, Huggy Bear's son from the Mod Squad.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Fargus, literally. Fargus, that.
I just been bit by the. and then, you know, in less great news, Germany is having record COVID cases right now. Apparently they have a pretty low vaccination rate, and they're at 67% nationwide, and that is what people are suggesting might be the cause of this yet another outbreak. Right. So they're kind of getting strict again on the non-vaccinated people. They're saying that they can't like come to restaurants or indoor settings if they haven't been vaccinated. So is it the vaccine mandate seems very superficially enforced, like over here in my experience. Like
I haven't been, the new sort of mandates began this week. So I've yet to experience the papers, please moment. But most of the time, it doesn't seem like, even if it is a situation where you need to present like proof of vaccination, it's like almost like you could have shown a playing card with like a King of Hearts on it. And they're like, all right, yeah. Show me something.
Anyways, there had been some, I feel like it was like more narrative momentum in the mainstream media behind the idea of like, hey, we're past it. Finally, folks, we did it. Which,
no.
Keep learning that doesn't seem to be the case.
Well, and also that's coming from a group of people who, to them, this is not a real pandemic at all.
Right.
You know, right. And I'm sure at a certain point, it's only like the journalist with some semblance of journalistic integrity, like aren't going to fly off and like, so great. Everything is like, we're able to live life again because I'm basing that off my narrow perspective as a wealthy person.
Are you kidding me? This isn't real for me, dude. My favorite Starbucks closed down.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Before I could get the Halloween cup. So you want to fucking talk about oppression?
Yeah. Cracker Barrel is trending, which is, you know.
The dumbest reason.
Yeah. I've just been on the internet for too long, I think. And I've
you and me
been
both,
an American
sister.
For too long because the shit that is, it's just the same stuff that we've been seeing for over a decade now.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, look at this. Check this out.
It's all because Food Insider, part of the Insider family, is doing a video called Millennials Try Cracker Barrel for the First Time. I clicked it and I said, oh, maybe it's funny. Like, maybe that's why people are like being like, oh, this is interesting. It's just a tired ass old like BuzzFeed type shit where these people go to a Cracker Barrel and they're like, oh, these dumplings are weird. Or like, I like this mac and cheese.
Gross. Actually pretty good. It seems mushy. Like that's basically what it is.
Cool. Thank you fucking 9-year-old video format that has like 5 years past its prime even. So, okay, sure.
Also, millennials claiming that it's like millennials trying Cracker Barrel for the first time is like millennials who live in Kentucky know some fucking Cracker Barrel. The video opens right. The video opens with this like editorial staff being like, so there's no Cracker Barrel in New York City, so we're going to New Jersey. And it's like, yeah, so this is just like kids from New York City try Cracker Barrel for the first time.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's
not
just,
saying it is like the youngest, hippest brand, but it just feels more like one of those things, an idea that was conceived by and for people who work in the media in New York.
Yeah, exactly. Who are like, you know, it would be cool to go to like, you know, that Waffle House place like our coworkers from the South talk about? Like, what if we tried that out?
My homie from New York, who like was, you know, born and raised in the Bronx, like will sometimes go on these similar like long drive excursions to like go get something that like is a foreign, like I think he used to do it for Chick-fil-A before they started like opening up in the city
and, right
because New York is its own culture
100 basically. Its own country basically
yeah
I just the also like millennial, like we get it. Your boss is a fucking boomer or Gen X person. Like right. What if you, if that's not something I, whatever, I guess that's like the construct of like group tries X for first time.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
rather
yeah.
than it really being New Yorkers try or city folk try Cracker Barrel for the first right. time, got to hit them with that generational tag right there.
What, they sit down in a rocking chair? What the fuck is this?
Yo, this chair's all the fucked chair up.
The chair is moving.
It's broken. It's haunted. This chair's fucking haunted. Get me out of this place.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And inflation is, you know, kind of hitting all-time highs. You know, some economists are expecting it to go down in the next year, but there's a lot of speculation that like the last time it was this high and like had this much visibility was when Ronald Reagan stormed to the presidency, when, you know, one of the big themes of his 1980 campaign was, is it easier for you to go and buy things in the stores than it was 4 years ago?
Right.
That's a direct quote. And so, I don't know, people are speculating that this is yet another reason that Democrats are about to get just fucking rinsed in the midterms. And this is just another like little thing that I was looking at the backlash to woke culture last week and wondering if like that's, if we were headed for another 80s where like the mainstream goes even more conservative, like culturally, like mm-hmm. we start making like conservative ass like movies and shit, and just saw this and two pieces of evidence, never been wrong.
Yeah. And also like, I think too, it's a reason to like fret over what the Build Back Better bill, how much spending can be done, because now you see moderates being like, I don't know, man, like just with this inflation. While right. like a lot of, you know, more cautious economists are like, no, the numbers aren't good, but let's not get carried away here. Like, right. let's also understand that like COVID has a huge fucking role in all of this. But I think in general too, like we were talking about, I think yesterday also, is things do feel more expensive. And when your wages don't move alongside that proportionately, it feels like it's a bigger bite out of your ass.
Yeah, the minimum wage has stayed the same for years and years while inflation has gone up. So yeah, they're actively making it harder to be a, you know, laborer in America.
Yeah.
But that's not the version of the story that gets told. It's more like, we're giving the laborers too much money and taking too much money away from rich people. So that's fucked. And also this, demonologists are trending because the Daily Caller, I just want to run through this article that they're mm-hmm. running that is being linked on the front page of Drudge. And I'll just read the headline to you. Astroworld fallout. Exorcists and demonologists break down the satanic influence at Travis Scott's deadly concert. There's a
wait, what was
circle.
The last one you said? Demonologist?
Yeah, demonologists, exorcists and demonologists okay. break down the satanic influence. The main photo is two like balls of flame and a circle around it, because they're like, he talks about fire and it's lit and uses it in his
it's lit
straight out of Satan's mouth.
Yeah.
So
the article starts with a bunch of in the aftermath, people on Twitter and TikTok shared videos and theories speculating the concert from hell resulted from demonic activity. So I was like, okay, yeah, so because people on Twitter thought that, that's probably a good reason to report it on your bullshit website. But then they go so far as to, I do want to read like some of the details. Social media users stressed the eeriness of the Astroworld promotional poster, which showed people walking through a portal and encouraged festival attendees to open your eyes to a whole new universe, which I don't see how that's
okay,
satanic.
Satan.
in the least bit. Also, like every like his album has people walking through a portal. Like there's always people walking through a portal, and it's not. It's never seemed they demonic.
Should, yeah, they should check out the Gnarls Barkley video for "I'm Going On." Because motherfuckers should, walk through a portal there too. You should watch Stargate out. Also. Motherfuckers yeah, go through
Stargate
a portal there too.
And every fucking death metal.
Y'all don't even want to play the video game Portal either, because that must be satanic also.
One of Travis Scott's signature taglines, "See you on the other side," was also on the poster. Other users were quick to point out what appears to be a rendering of Travis Scott as a demon on an album cover for a song he debuted at the concert. And then we get our first expert witness.
That demon thing, that's Bat Boy. If you remember Bat Boy from the fucking old National Enquirer
yeah,
shit.
I just clicked through
on
it.
It's him as Bat Boy. It's not him right. as no fucking... Anyway, that's a whole other thing. I'm curious...
Wow, they're having to like lie to make this point that should be fairly easy to make, that like he uses fire and devil, like as do all pop musicians. The fact that they have to do a riff on Bat Boy and claim that it's a demon is pretty bad. I want to get to this expert witness. This is a quote. Quoth, "The imagery Travis Scott projects, whether he does it for commercial reasons or intentionally," which I don't know how those are an either or, "it certainly projects satanic imagery and satanic practice, no question. Father John Sada, an exorcist at the Catholic Diocese of Harrisburg in Pennsylvania, told the Daily Caller. It's possible Travis Scott summoned demon, but it's pure speculation. Even if he summoned demons unwillingly, he opened a door and they just took advantage of it. The Harrisburg exorcist also pointed to reports that some festival attendees were needle spiked with opioids, such as, which has not been fucking...
And actually debunked. They came, the chief was like, oh, no, we couldn't, I shouldn't have said that.
Jesus Christ.
Hey,
whoever
hey,
was
hey,
going around.
What, are you taken over by a demon talking like that?
I was just, honoring the one true.
Oh, okay.
Whoever was going around and sticking needles into people was definitely under demonic influence, maybe even possessed, he told mm-hmm. the Daily Caller. And then they just like embed a bunch of posts from people being like, this is obviously he was, like, if you don't think he was being controlled by Satan, why is he continuing to sing as people are carried off? And it's like, dude, watch any concert where there's like a lot of people fainting. Like the Beatles had people fainting at their concerts. Like, and he's an artist performing.
I'm surprised they're not like, imagine this, right? If Travis Scott is conspiring with Satan's army and conscripting these people into Satan's demon army, imagine for a second they are in hell. And they have to come to Earth to infect all the good-natured people with Satan's ideology. What direction would Satan's army need to go to infect the Earth?
Straight up!
Okay, so with that said, I'm pretty sure we have a fucking demon on our hands!
If you don't think that's the voice of Satan, I don't know what to tell you.
That's where they have to go. Just saying.
Right.
It's a trademark for him.
That we also get to hear from Indiana Reverend Michael Magino, whose famous exorcism of LaToya Ammons, famous. We were just talking about it the other day. It's
so famous,
defined,
you don't even know how to say the name.
Was adapted into the movie Demon House, which does kind of get to a point we talked about how like conservative the ideology is undergirding like all horror movies and like these exorcism of movies really is like those what's it called, the Conjuring movies. Yeah. Anyways, this person, they say, explained that when you make a pact with the devil, it ends up with your downfall. That's ultimately what the demon does. The first thing he probably promises is fame or money, but he keeps on demanding more and more, or else he'll threaten to take it all away. But eventually, this more and more leads to self-destruction, which a lot of times has been drug overdose, alcohol, and substance abuse, mm-hmm. which inevitably leads to the death or suicide of the artist. But this one seems to have resulted in the death of 8 of Travis Scott's devotees. That is a quote in a thing that is being linked from, like, probably close to 1 million people are reading. Okay. And yeah, devotees, Travis Scott's devotees, you know, I mean, converts, you might call them,
yeah.
Followers, minions.
I mean, he goes by La Flame, okay?
Right.
So
but, La Flame, I mean, what the fuck else do you need
coming straight up from hell, it's lit, meaning the fires of hell. I mean, y'all, don't you open up that window. Don't you let out Jesus Christ. Or something. Right. I'm pretty sure that's how the lyrics were.
Well, it's the antidote, which clearly means Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. Oh, shit.
Yeah, anyway. The antidote to Satan's poison. Thank you.
Sicko mode? I mean, it's...
yeah. Yeah, I think he is in sicko mode. This guy.
Surprised, you know? They're not doing the shit like that.
Finally, Deborah Messing is trending because people aren't psyched that Nicole Kidman is playing Lucille Ball. And that would seem to include Aaron Sorkin, the director of the movie, because the trailer kind of hides her. But yeah, I don't know. Deborah Messing does look like Lucille Ball. That seems to be
sure. I think it's one of those things like where, remember back when people would just project like who should be in a remake of a movie, like, you know, when it wasn't sort of like a normal thing to do on the internet. I feel like a lot of people were like, man, Deborah Messing would have been good or whatever.
Right.
And then they just see, you know, Nicole Kidman, and they've absolutely getting so angry about it. I mean, yeah, does Nicole Kidman really evoke that? I don't know. I don't think so.
But let's just wait till the movie comes out. But
I don't have any skin in that game. But I remember back in the day, I used to do this thing where I'm like, if there was an X-Men movie, okay, this is what shit I used to say in 95. I was like, if there was an X-Men movie, Gambit has to be played by Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah.
That was like the one thing I was taking into every conversation as like a fucking sixth.
That was the first thing you said to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember at the time when I was auditioning, you know, trying out to be on this podcast, I think Tokyo Tony was trending at the time, Black China's Mom, and I completely changed the subject to talk about Jean-Claude Van Damme and Gambit.
You know, Tokyo Tony reminds me of Jean-Claude Van Damme, my nickname for him.
Don't you think he should be, if they're going to do an X-Men movie, that he should be Gambit? And you're like, they've made a few X-Men movies?
Like, what if they, no, but just like blue sky with me here. What if they made an X-Men movie,
mm-hmm.
and what if they cast someone who wasn't Jean-Claude Van Damme as Gambit? Like, what would you even do?
Well, they did cast someone that wasn't Jean-Claude Van Damme. Are you?
But like, here, blue sky with me for me. just blue sky it over and over again. All right, those are six of the things that are trending.
Yep.
We're back tomorrow with the whole last episode of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, be kind to each other. Be kind to yourselves. Get the vaccine. Get your fucking booster. Don't do nothing about white supremacy. And we will talk to y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.